I want you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. My sermon is going to be extremely, extremely practical this morning. It's called Spiritual Resolutions. Spiritual Resolutions. Psalm chapter number 33. And once you find Psalm 33, I want you to find verse number 1 and then stand with me if you would. Stand. Hey, everybody, stand out of respect to the Word of God. I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. Psalm chapter 33, starting with verse number 1, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps, sing unto him with the psaltery and with the instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillful with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Look back at verse number 2. Notice it says, "Sing unto him a new song." A new song. If you'll look at me, I'll tell you what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to take just a little bit of time, and I want to talk to you about spiritual New Year's resolutions. Last week, I started our year with a whole sermon on the answer for 2018 is Jesus. This week, I want to go the path that so many at this time of the year do. There are a lot of resolutions, a lot of commitments made at the start of a new year. I want to talk to you about that very thing in the next couple of minutes here. Let me pray for us and we'll get started. Father, bless us now. Help us that we would be better because we came to church. And God, thank you that we have the start of a new year, which could mean a start of a lot of new, good things in our lives. God, take the simplicity of the sermon and get glory to thyself. Everyone will understand what I talk about this morning. Everyone can be involved. Everyone can make decisions. And on this cold, unique winter morning, change us that we might better glorify you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. If you notice there in Lamentations 3:23, it says that they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We read from Psalm 33, verse number 3, where it talks about a new song. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, it says this, "I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you." Then later, in the same chapter of the Bible, actually in the same book of the Bible, in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31, it says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" I got to looking in the Bible, and I noticed God uses the word new a lot. Of course, we talk about the new birth. We are here right at the beginning of the year. It's January, and this is it's a wonderful time of the year because of the commitments that we get to make. It's the first Sunday of the new year. And God speaks a lot about new things. In Lamentations 3:23, it talks about his new mercies. There in Ezekiel 11:19, it talked about a new spirit. You say, what is that? That word spirit there is associated with our attitude. In Ezekiel 18:31, it talks about a new heart. In Psalm 33:3, it talks about a new song. It's pretty well known by people here, especially in the United States of America, that yeah, you have a New Year's celebration, and then so many times people say, well, I'm going to make some commitments for this year. There's some things that I'm going to do in my life. There's some changes, that some challenges I'm going to place upon myself to start this new year. And I think because we feel like maybe we could leave the old year behind and start a clean slate for the new year, it makes sense to us. And I think that's all wonderful, wonderful thinking. You know, we had last Sunday night, we had a lot of fun here at the church. We brought in the new year, and we had the Lord's Supper, and then we had our crazy 15 flavors of popcorn, and we had the popcorn preaching, which was fantastic. It was all fun, and we were excited about the new year. But let's not let the excitement of the new year stop just with some party hats and some noisemakers and a few days off. Let's make sure that we do something that would please the Lord spiritually with our new year. I did a little research and found that they have what they call the top 10 resolutions for American people, the people here in the United States of America for 2018. I'm going to tell you what everybody out there in the world says. These are my goals. These are my resolutions for 2018. The number one resolution for 2018 was to stay fit and healthy. Number two was to lose weight. That's always my resolution. Number three was to enjoy life. Number four was to spend less money and save more money. Number five was to spend more time with the family. Number six was to get organized. Number seven was to make no resolutions. Honestly, it was number seven. Number eight was to learn something new. Number nine was to travel more, and number 10 was to read more. Those were what the world in our country did. They did some little interviews or surveys, and a fact-gathering website said that's the top 10. Now, listen to these statistics. They say 40 to 50% of American adults make at least one and maybe more than one resolution. So about half the country will make a resolution in January about something they want to change for the following year. Then they said most of those have been broken within 48 hours. So you promise on Monday and by Wednesday you said, "Oh, phooey on that." Then only about half of them will keep their resolution for 2 months. Then, finally, it said 20% of promises that a person will make to themselves or others will be kept in regard to their New Year resolution. In other words, 2 out of every 10 people will actually do what they said they were going to do. Now, let me tell everybody here, you and I as Christians, our percentage of success ought to be far higher than that. Because if we promise that we're going to change something for the better, we ought to be a little more intense and a little more committed and a little more desirous to succeed at it. My whole sermon today, again, it is very, very simple. I want it to be. I think we kicked off the new year with the subject of Jesus last Sunday morning in a bombastic way. I just want to talk to you. I want to say to you, I think it's a good idea. If you want to make a resolution for the new year, I can give you some suggestions that would be good spiritual resolutions. Some of those that we've seen from the world, maybe they teeter in and out of being spiritual, but the ones that I'll give you this morning, I would challenge you. I wish that somebody here would make one of, maybe all of, these resolutions in your life as spiritual resolutions for 2018. Let me tell you what they are. Number one, I wish you'd make a spiritual resolution to be a soul winner. To be a soul winner. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." I wish that you would start believing that there really is a hell, and that people really do go to it, and that it really is the Christian's duty to tell people about Jesus Christ, not just to attend a church where others tell people about Jesus, but you do it. I wish that you would make a resolution and say, "I'm going to get some gospel tracts and I'm going to start passing them out. I'm going to learn how to tell someone how to be saved." Hey, I wish somebody in here would say, "You know, Pastor, I'm going to start showing up on some of those Thursday night soul winning nights at 7 o'clock. Pastor, I'm going to start showing up at 10 o'clock on Saturday. I'm going to get involved in the soul winning program of the church." Listen, it would that we set so many goals in our lives. And at the beginning of a new year, we make resolutions and we say to God, God, I'm going to do some things. Or maybe we say to ourselves, you know, when we all laugh. We laugh about, well, I'm going to try to lose some weight in 2018. Or I'm going to spend less money in 2018. And those are good things and I'm for those things. But I'll tell you something. I can tell you of a resolution that can make an eternal difference in somebody's life. And that is that you decide, I am going to become a soul winner. I'm not just going to attend a soul winning church. I'm going to get involved in this aspect of reaching people with the gospel. I hope you'll consider that. And for some, I wish that you would just rekindle your desire to be a soul winner. There's some you used to, but you don't. It's become inconvenient. Your life is busy. You've gotten out of the habit. Why don't you make a resolution that you will get involved in the soul winning program of the church in 2018? Number two, I wish you would make a spiritual resolution to faithfully attend church, just to be faithful to church. This won't be hard for many of you, of course. You know, it was 8 degrees when we started this morning, and if you're in church, you're a pretty determined person to be faithful to church. But nah, there's some, maybe not so much. Hey, a spiritual resolution to faithfully attend church. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That word assembling there is actually, it's the word churching. Let's not go backwards in our church attendance, but let's go forward in our church attendance. Have you become unfaithful to church? Do you recognize it? Some here, you need to be determined to be here. Listen, I understand illness. And there are going to be times when illness may keep you from coming to church. But some people use it as an excuse, and they're not ill enough to stay home, but they can use it as an excuse. And what can we say? Now, I don't know who that is, but I will tell you this happens all the time. I've been pastoring for a long time. I'm always polite to people when they say, I was sick, I can't be there. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't you be a liar. Don't be a liar about it. You know you can tell the pastor and you can say I was sick and then you don't come because you just wanted to stay home. And I'm going to tell you something. If you could have come and you were not that sick, you do understand that's dishonesty, right? So make a commitment not to look for reasons to stay home. I could start giving you some illustrations of what it really means to be sick. And I could also give you some illustrations of how I've seen people come to church under some pretty adverse situations. But all I'm saying is, maybe you need to make a commitment, and I don't want you to make a commitment to me. Maybe you ought to make a New Year's resolution to God that you will be faithful to church and not look for excuses not to be here. Get into church. Get into church Sunday morning. Get into church Wednesday night. Some of you need to make church a little more a primary part of your life instead of an extracurricular activity. Well, you work God in if you have time. You better hope God never says that about you. I'll work some air into your life so you can breathe if I have time. I'll send some food your way if I have time. No, God's faithful. And so maybe you could make a spiritual resolution to be a soul winner. Maybe you need to make a spiritual resolution to be faithful to church. Hey, even when you don't feel like it. Now, I mentioned the physical. Some people, your problem is just emotional. You're mad about something. And so you're going to stay home, make your statement with your husband, make your statement with your wife, make your statement with whoever. You got to knock off the emotional junk and get right with God and just come to church because you're supposed to come to church. But maybe you need to make a spiritual resolution to be faithful to church. Number three, maybe you ought to make a spiritual resolution to read your Bible daily. To read your Bible daily. Say, oh, preacher, we all come to church all the time. I'm glad you do. I wonder how many people in this room actually read your Bible consistently. I don't want to embarrass leadership, but may I say to everybody that's in any position of leadership around here, moms, dads, husbands, and wives, it sure would do your family good to see you with your Bible open. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, folks, I hold in my hand the only book God ever wrote. It might be a good idea for somebody in this room to make a resolution and say, "I am going to read my Bible every day this year." I didn't even say read it all the way through. For some of you, if you just read some simple little one chapter a day, it would be progression for you. It would be a step up for you. And though I don't see how much you read your Bible and you don't see how much I read my Bible, I think it would be a wonderful thing if somebody made a resolution that I will read my Bible every day without fail. I'll read my Bible every day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make myself do this. And again, we would all like to give one another the impression that we live like that and we do that. But I meet very few people that give me the impression they read their Bible daily. Daily. I think the new year is a great place to start. There are probably people in this room. You've already gone on websites or you've bought books, self-help books to help you get started in the new year. And boy, you're going to fix this part of your life and fix that part of your life. And you got a DVD about it and you got a CD about it. And somebody's going to counsel you about this and counsel you about that. Won't you read the Bible? It's the self-help book of all eternity. Just read it. You read your texts pretty faithfully. You read your email pretty faithfully. There are people in here, you never miss the news. You wake up every day and look at the Weather Channel. You watch NBC or ABC or Fox News and you don't miss it. And when it's on, everybody needs to be quiet. Does anyone need to be quiet when you read your Bible every day? Are you upset when you miss your Bible reading? Hey, listen. How about some spiritual New Year's resolutions? A spiritual resolution to start winning people to Jesus Christ. A spiritual resolution to be faithful to church like never before. A spiritual resolution to read your Bible. How about a spiritual resolution to pray? And I mean have a time of prayer. Folks, it's so easy for a pastor to say, "I think you ought to pray every day." And you say, "I do. I pray over my food." I'm talking about something a little more than that. Some of you really need some big things to happen in your lives. I recommend that you learn how to pray. Take time and pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." I think it would be great if somebody here could make a spiritual resolution that you're going to pray every day. You're going to establish a daily prayer time. Maybe you're going to get a list, but you're going to pray every day. Maybe you need to reestablish your prayer time. And then you keep that time. You know, folks, when something's important to you, the other day, Mrs. Owens and I, the heater at our house wasn't working, our furnace wasn't working, and when the man told me he was going to come by and look at it, and he was an hour late, I have to tell you, I wasn't real happy about it, because we had 24 hours without heat, and then when he was 2 hours late, and then 3 hours late, and then when he said, "I'm not even sure I'm going to make it today," it began to bother me, because I needed the heat. Can I tell you all something? You need the warmth of the Word of God, and you need to get to it. And the truth is, the best thing I could recommend to everybody in here is that you set up a time when you're going to read your Bible every day, and at that time, you read your Bible. It's a spiritual appointment. And you make an appointment with God, and you read your Bible, and then you pray at that time because you have an appointment with God. Hey, it is irritating. You all like to go to the doctor and have to sit in the waiting room for 5 hours? You say, "No way." Now, let me tell you, God, I think God wants to meet with you. But I wonder how many times you should have met with God in prayer. You should have met with God in your Bible reading, but you never even showed. Can you picture God sitting there, maybe in your living room or at your kitchen table, waiting to meet with you, and you just never show up? And God said, "Whoa, you going to spend any time with me today? Well, I've got so many things to do today, God. I'm busy. I've got a lot going on. Better take the time to spend some time with God." Somebody ought to make a spiritual resolution that you are going to pray every day in 2018. You're going to do it every day. I'm not just talking about saying, you know, over the teeth, through the gums, watch out stomach, here it comes, amen. I'm not talking about praying about your food. I'm talking about you actually get down to business and spend some time praying with God. I believe this, and this is an indictment against the Christianity of our day. But I believe it would be big for some people in this room if you read your Bible for 10 minutes a day and you prayed for 10 minutes a day. It'd be almost overwhelming for some of you. That's only 20 minutes a day. That's not a lot. But what would happen if just 10 minutes a day you read your Bible? And for some of you say, oh, Pastor, I do far more than that. Then keep it up. Increase it. But there are some, you don't read your Bible for 10 minutes a day. You don't pray for 10 minutes a day. What would happen? There's some of you, I hate to tell you this, and you're the only one that knows this. You truly are no longer spiritual, are you? You really don't tell anybody about Jesus. You really don't read your Bible. You really don't pray. You're not really spiritual. You have to do those things to be spiritual. You want to have a good 2018? Make some resolutions. You say, one of my resolutions is I'm going to be good to cats. Well, I'm glad you're going to be good to cats. And I'm for you being good to cats. But I'm going to tell you, if you'd make a commitment that you're going to start winning souls to Jesus, that'll take you a long, long way with God. If you'll make a commitment to God that you'll be in church and stop looking for excuses not to be there, but you're going to be there faithfully, boy, that'd change your life. If you would read your Bible every day without fail, read your Bible and stop putting God off, and then make a spiritual resolution to pray every single day. Wow. I promise you, it'd change your life. Number five, maybe you ought to make a spiritual resolution to serve God in your church. To serve God. Not just attend church, but to get involved and serve God. Luke chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shalt thou serve." I want you to admire God, and that's good. And I want you to admire him. I want you to look up to him. I want you to look to him. But you know, there's more to this thing of the Christian life than just admiring God. We're to serve God. We're to be accomplishing something for him. Serving God is not just sitting in a pew. I do this all the time. I'm not going to go into it real deeply. But look, if you're on a football team and the coach said, "Fellas, let's play football." And everybody ran on the field and we're passing the ball and tackling and blocking. And then the coach looked over and you're sitting on the bench. And the coach said, "What are you doing over there?" He said, "I'm playing football." He'd say, "No, you're watching football." Now, folks, get in the game. These are the benches. We call them pews, and we call them chairs here. Say, "What are you doing?" Well, you're watching, but get involved. Serve God. Get involved. Hey, that's what that soul winning's all about. That's what we have a lot of ways for people to get involved around here. Boy, we've got people that help us keep our buildings clean, and one time every 5 years we clean snow off our parking lot. But there are ways to get involved. Serve God. If you say, "Well, Pastor, I've really just started coming to the church." Well, let me tell you something. You ought to set a goal to get involved. Not just to be a spectator, but to become a participator. Not just to watch it get done, but figure out how can I get involved? Why? The Bible teaches that we are to serve God. And it might be that there's somebody in this room that needs to make a New Year's resolution for 2018 that I'm going to serve God. I've not been involved, but I'm going to get involved. Now, I tell you, we're getting ready. We're going to need to letter our buses that we just painted. That's a way to get involved. When it won't be long, we're going to wish it was cold again. Because it's going to get hot out there, and we got to groom these grounds and take care of everything, and we keep the buildings clean. And boy, there are so many things that we do around here, you ought to be serving God. And remember, and I'm not trying to be unkind to anybody, but there's more to it than walking in, sitting down, and walking out of church. There's a service to God, and that's a part of what Christians do. So, you want a good New Year's resolution? Have a resolution that you're going to be a soul winner. Have a resolution that you're going to faithfully attend church. Have a resolution that you're going to read your Bible every day. Have a spiritual resolution that you're going to pray every single day. Decide that you're going to serve God and you're going to figure out how to get involved at the church. Number six, maybe you should have a spiritual resolution to care for His temple, which is your body. Care for His temple, which is your body. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Folks, when you got saved, you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. He came into your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. We look at this church, and some call this church the sanctuary. In all reality, this is not a sanctuary, this is just a building. The sanctuary where God dwells is your body. He lives in your body. I use a crude illustration, but I want you to understand it. There are people in this room that if you found out that somebody was pouring liquor on the inside of our church building, you would be irate. You'd say, you shouldn't do that to the sanctuary. Well, no, you shouldn't do that to this building, but you shouldn't be pouring it inside your sanctuary either. That's where God lives. God doesn't need that smoke coming into His sanctuary. You know, this is a non-smoking facility here. Not in the auditorium or on the property or over there in the restrooms, but folks, I don't think you ought to be drawing that soot into your body. Why? That's your body. You say, what's the big deal? That's where the Holy Spirit lives. And so, I wonder if somebody does not need to make some type of a New Year's resolution to care for your body like you ought to care for your body. Stop abusing the place where God dwells, and He dwells within your body. I might throw this out there, and now we're talking about the misuse of drugs, and we're talking about the liquor and the cigarettes and all the things that would hurt your body. But folks, I'd be real careful what you do with your body morally. Somebody ought to make a commitment to be moral, to be clean, to be decent sexually in 2018. That your body does not belong to you if you're a Christian. It belongs to God. So somebody might just need to make a commitment. They might need to make a New Year's resolution that all the hanky-panky is off. I'll wait till I'm married to do the right thing. And I'm going to be moral and I'm going to be clean. Another New Year's resolution that a Christian could make. Let me go back. Let me say just a little bit on your body. Folks, take care of your body. Don't abuse your body. We laugh and we have a good time around here. And you know, we talk about, we're always talking about, okay, I had a good time at Christmas with fruitcake. So we have some fun. We have 15 different kinds of popcorn at our New Year's Eve service. But I will tell you this, folks, you won't be healthy if you don't eat right. And I'm not your dad, but I am your pastor. And I will tell you this, for some of you, you'd feel better if you just eat right. You take in so much sugar and you just don't eat right. And boy, there's just so many things you could do to improve your health. You know, one of the big commitments in the world, their New Year's resolution is to improve their health. And if some of you would just change if you'd eat right and get that exercise, you say, boy, it just sounds like my health class when I went to school. Well, if you would eat right and you'd drink water and you would exercise, you could be so much healthier. And the issue for me is not because I want you to look like a model that could go on television. I want you to be healthy enough that you can come to church and serve God. And that's the issue. Your body was given to you to use it to serve God. And if you, and I don't think anybody ought to go around the church judging one another about health, but I think everybody ought to keep themselves as healthy as they can. You keep you healthy. You work on your health. That's the issue. And I can tell you this, pretty rare that I find anybody that's doing everything they can to help themselves be healthy. Pretty rare. We cater to our flesh too much. But take care of your health. Take care of your body then. Number seven, how about a spiritual resolution to give up some sin in your life? Give up some sin. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, "And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What sin is in your life right now? Is there a sin that is very obvious in your life and it needs to be taken care of? Is it the wrong music? Is it fornication? Is it adultery? Is it stinginess? Is it hatefulness? Is it laziness? Are you a gossip? Are you, if everybody's seen everything that you write about on Facebook, are you a gossip? Are you a bad mouther? Are you a negative person? Maybe you ought to make a resolution in 2018 that you're going to get your sin under control. And so you know, everybody under the sound of my voice has something in your life that needs to be taken out today. I don't know what yours is, but everybody does. Everybody does. Might want to take a moment and think about it and think about what should be taken out of my life. It might be that you need to say, okay, Lord, it's 2018. It's the start of a new year. You've been good to me. I am going to make a resolution. I'm going to make a commitment, God, to you and a commitment, God, to me, myself. And I'm going to get that sin out of my life. Folks, so you all know, sin is still sin. Sin will still destroy you. You say, well, but preacher, I've been doing this for a while and it's not destroyed me yet. The key word is yet. It will get you sooner or later. And so, a spiritual resolution to take some sin out of your life. Out in the world, they made all sorts of commitments and all sorts of things that they were going to change in their lives. As Christians, maybe we ought to become soul winners. Maybe we ought to be resolved about our church attendance or our Bible reading or our prayer life or that thing of serving God or taking care of our bodies or taking sin out of our life. I'll give you two or three more and we'll be done. I told you, the sermon's purpose, it's simple. I just wish you would grab a hold of a couple things and say, that's it. This is it. I am going to make a commitment to God in this area this year. Number eight, maybe you ought to make a spiritual resolution to God in regard to your finances. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." The Bible teaches that 10% of our income is to be given back to God. That's called the tithe. And I think we ought to tithe. And then he even actually teaches an offering. We tithe, and next week at our Faith Promise, we will ask if people will give above their tithe, give an offering to the missions program of our church. God does not tell you how much offering you ought to give, but he does tell you how much your tithe is. That's set in stone, and we are to tithe. There are people that used to tithe and you stopped. Maybe in 2018, you need to make a recommitment to do that. There might be some people in here you've never tithed before in your life. Maybe you need to start tithing. And so you all understand, this thing of the tithe, Jeff Owens didn't think that up. My board, we didn't get together and say, let's invent a way to get money for the church. They've been doing this for a long time. Matter of fact, this can be traced to history going by all the way back to God. It's his idea. He's the one that put it in the Bible. You say, well, I'll just go to another church. Well, I think you're going to get there and find out that they need your money there. Well, I'll go to the Catholic church. Well, they want more than your tithe, buddy. And so, but I'm just telling you, we didn't dream this up. It's there. And I'll never forget when I first started going, I went to a little independent fundamental Baptist church in Indiana many, many years ago. And the pastor said, you need to tithe. And I didn't know what the tithe was. I called it the tithy. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And he said, you need to tithe. He said, because if you'll tithe, God will bless you and you'll have more money. And I got to tell you, Brother Mike, it didn't make sense to me. I thought, yeah, my mama didn't raise any idiots. You know, when I got $100 and I give you 10, I ain't got more money. And you know, but the pastor said, you'll have more if you do this. And I'm thinking, they are cheating me out of education at the public school, because me giving you 10%, might mean you have more, but I dead sure don't have more. But let me testify. I started tithing when I was a 16-year-old boy, and I've tithed ever since, and I have no regret or no remorse, none. I have more because of it. I do. You say, that doesn't make sense. Well, you say what you want. But I'm just telling you, God takes care of us. He knows how to do it. So it might be that somebody needs to make a New Year's resolution to tithe. It might be that somebody needs to make a New Year's resolution to, maybe you need to catch up on your tithe. Hey, and for some, you made a promise last year for Faith Promise and you've fallen behind. Well, we have this week and next for you to catch up, and that will be the end of our commitment for last year. Maybe you need to get it right. But I will tell you this. You want a good spiritual resolution? Do right by God financially. I had someone say to me one time, they said, Pastor, I feel like I owe God so much from all my past and my past tithe where I didn't tithe. I couldn't write a check for it. I said, I'll tell you what you could do. If you are wanting to get that right, won't you tell God that you're going to figure out what that is and you'll give 1% of it until you get it all paid back? I tell you what, if somebody owed me $100 and they said to me, I just owe you so much, I'm not going to give you any of it. I don't think that's reasonable. I mean, really, is that how you want someone to treat you? I just owe you so much, you're not getting nothing. It's overwhelming for me. I respect someone that would come to me and say, you know what, I owe you $100, I'm going to give you $1 a week until I get you all paid back. I'd say, you know what, I'll take it. That's character. Hey, what do we do? What is this thing of resolution? It's commitment. I've decided to make a change for the better. Hey, maybe you could make a spiritual resolution. And this is number 9, spiritual resolution, to be a joy-filled, victorious Christian. A joy-filled, victorious Christian. This has now not to do with your wallet. Has to do with your attitude. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Folks, we need to let this depressed world see some victorious, happy Christians. Way too much lingering depression among Christians. Too many frowns on faces. Did you know that frowns are just about as contagious as smiles are? You need to let the Holy Spirit of God encourage your life. Too many sad people. We need to get some glad people. Some of you need to get your joy back. Some of you need to get a good dose of joy for the first time in your life. But I'm going to tell you, there's people in here. I think every one of us, God will help us to improve our outlook and improve our spirit if we will let Him. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children or the sons of God. You can have a better attitude if you want one. You can do that. And it may just be that there are people in this room that your New Year's resolution needs to be that you're gonna change your attitude. Now, it sounds like a parent, doesn't it? You want to change your attitude, boy. Get that attitude. I remember hearing that from my parents. You got a bad attitude. And on the inside, I'm thinking, what's an attitude? I don't even know what an attitude is. Show me an attitude. Well, I believe that our Heavenly Father, would say to some of us, you need to change your attitude. You just need to change your attitude. Maybe in 2018, you need to decide that you are going to become a victorious, happy Christian, and that you are going to change your attitude. You say, we live in such a terrible, glum world. Yeah, and you're to be like Jesus. You're to be a part of the light of the world. You're not supposed to be like them. We're supposed to be unique, peculiar people. You need to change that attitude so you're not depressed all the time. Depression. It's a little bit like, and my old college president, when it came to bad thoughts, he told me this, and I heard him teach it. He said, look, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you do not have to let him build a nest on top of your head. And there may be thoughts that are going to come into your head and into my head. And we can't stop some of those things from coming, but we don't have to dwell on them. We don't have to let them nest. We don't have to let that bird lay eggs to where there's dozens of negative, nasty thoughts. And look, I've counseled, I mean, you'll think this an exaggeration. I've counseled hundreds of thousands of people. Too many people entertain depression. They start to go there, and then they choose to stay there, and they virtually dig a hole for themselves. And all they do is think about the negative and the past and what happened and what I don't like and how bad it is and how dark it is. And you just keep talking that way, and you can go deeper and deeper into the dark hole, or you can decide, I'm not going to think that way. And you do have a certain amount of control over your emotions. Some of you need to get your emotions under control by use of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that's enough of that. I really didn't mean to throw a fit, but it just came out. So, my spiritual resolution to be a joyful, victorious Christian. Let me give you one more and I'm done. How about making a spiritual resolution to change your life for God? To change your life for God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Someone here, you just need to decide that you're just going to change your life. You're just going to change your life for God. If you play in church, that you're going to stop playing and get in it for real. Hey, if you're not saved, let me recommend that you just get saved and get this new life in Christ Jesus. It's available to you. But in all honesty, Mrs. Owens is a cosmetologist, and she got a degree in beauty care and what's that thing where you do fingernails? What do they call that? Okay, she's she does hair jobs, you know, and all that. But there's a thing that is I suppose it's popular among ladies. It's called a makeover. And that's where someone goes in and, boy, they just do their hair and their fingernails and shows them how to wear their makeup and everything. And boy, they come out and they feel so good about themselves. And they say, wow, look, what a change. Just a total revamping for that person. Can I tell you something? There's probably somebody in this room, you need a spiritual makeover. There are a lot of areas of your life that just need a change up. You need to get serious about your Christianity. You need to stop playing church. You need to stop just hanging around spiritual things, but get involved in spiritual things. I've seen over and over again in the Bible that God highlighted and emphasized new. Well, we have a new year. How about we decide that we're going to become soul winners? Or we're going to get our church attendance under control. We're going to read our Bibles daily or pray daily. Maybe it is we're going to get involved and begin to actually serve God, not just watch. We're going to take care of our bodies. Give up a sin. Tithe. Change my attitude for the better. Or maybe I just need to do all these. Maybe I need a whole spiritual makeover. I don't know. But God brought us together today, I think this is the first Sunday of the year, isn't it? First Sunday of 2018, the world's making resolutions. They're going to be kind to cats. You and I, we need to be right with God. I wish everybody here would make some type of a spiritual resolution today. Did you know that's what church is really all about? You're to come, learn the Bible, and say, yep, I'm going to do that. I need that. I wish you would pick one of, or maybe many of these, and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to change in 2018 for the better in that area of my life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A simple sermon. Anybody could have preached it. But let's pull together in our thinking today. Is there an area of life where you would say, I need a change in 2018. I need to make a resolution to God in some area. I'm going to keep my head bowed. I'm going to keep my eyes closed for a moment. Here's the question. Who here would say, Pastor, I'll make a commitment to God today. In one of these, or many of these, I'm going to make a commitment to God in one of these areas. I'm going to make a resolution in one of these areas to God. Now, I'm not looking. I don't want anyone to look around. Would you put your hand up and say, I'm making one or many areas. I'm making a promise to God. I'm going to do one of these things, or maybe many of them, and you'll put your hand up. You can put your hand down. We're going to have a time of altar call. If you need to come and seal it, maybe you need to come up here and say, Lord, I just promise you I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. If you need to come and make a commitment to God, I want you to feel free to do so. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. God brought us here on purpose today. We're maybe one of the only churches in the entire county that's open today. But God brought us here to do spiritual business. Thank God we got a good crowd here today. Let's do business for God today at church. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you need to come and say, God, I'm going to get this fixed in my life. Or God, I'm going to do that one right there. Or God, I'm going to work on that one right there. I need to make a commitment to you about this, Lord. Do you read your Bible daily? Maybe you need to promise God you will. Do you pray daily? Maybe you need to promise God you will. Do you go soul winning? Do you tell people about Christ? Maybe you just need to tell God, God, I'm going to take care of that. God, I'm going to start serving you. God, I'm going to tithe. God, I'm going to get myself straightened out with you financially. Father, I'm going to take care of my body in a way that I've never done before so you can use me. God, I'm changing my attitude. I have attitude issues. And for some, yours is just the victim mentality. All that's happened to you. Well, listen, you need to get victory so that you can be used of God. Do you need to give up a sin? Maybe you just need a makeover. Maybe you need to kind of say, Lord, I need it all. I need a makeover. The piano continues to play. The sermon's called Spiritual Resolutions. Spiritual Resolutions. The world makes their resolutions. Somebody's going to run a mile a day, and somebody else is, they're going to start a business and make $1 million this year. They're going to read a book. Good. I'm glad for all that. Especially am I glad if the book's the Bible. But let's make some decisions for God for 2018. God talks about new mercies and the new spirit and a new heart and a new song. I think He wants us in the new year to make some new, fresh commitments about our service to Him. One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah, and then folks, we'll be on our way. After this service is over with, you say, I made it through there. I didn't make one commitment to God. I hope it haunts you through the afternoon. I hope that thing that you kept thinking, I ought to take care of this. I probably ought to try to conquer this. I hope it just bothers you through the day. Then you can make the commitment. You don't have to be here at this building to make the commitment. You can make it to God this afternoon. Thank you, Sarah. If you all remain standing, remember this. Remember this. According to the world, lost people, their resolutions are broken within 48 hours. Can I challenge you? If you said, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day, won't you get past 2 days? You say, I'm going to pray every day. Won't you get past 2 days? But not only that, within 48 hours, most of them break their resolution and forget about it. About half of them can only make it a couple of months. 2 out of 10 make it for the whole year. Christians ought to be that percentage. We ought to all be in that 20 percentile because we have God to help us keep our commitments. And He wants you to do it more than you want to do it. So you've got that backing. Let's succeed for the Lord in 2018.